Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's a little cloudy. U.S. Open's getting underway at Oakmont in Pennsylvania, just outside of Pittsburgh. Beautiful day there.
A little cloudy, but still fresh out here.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here. Question that I think started with the morning show.
It did. Absolutely, this
and
did.
And we've kind of taken it into a different direction, but it's the premise is food on planes. Josh had pizza from a stranger on a plane.
Which Owen.
Which I can respect.
I saw Owen's opinion
Owen
on
seems
this.
Out on it completely.
Yeah, no, he's already shaking his head at us.
Yeah.
He's
I am so out on stranger pizza on an airplane.
I will say, context is always going to matter here. For me, the scenario you guys talked about for the morning show, like what Josh did. Old lady, I'm a little disarmed.
Okay, she wasn't an old lady. She
older
was like
lady.
Older, like middle age. Like, she was like probably like 50s.
Oh, she could have poisoned you. Oh,
no, no,
shot.
No, 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 no.
I'm shot.
It was her and her four friends were going down for a girls trip. I had talked to them for like the whole flight. Me and my girlfriend were having a great time talking to
not
them.
Not shot.
The whole flight we were talking. And then like an hour left in the flight, she pulls out a bag of
hour
pizza.
Left
okay,
the
yeah,
no.
And she's like, hey, you guys want any? And we're like,
never mind. I'm back.
Sure.
I'm back on the midpoint of this though. Because you said plastic baggie.
Like a Ziploc bag.
sandwich bag.
That's where
like
I'm
a
like.
A big gallon yep. Ziploc bag. Like, this is where you got to weigh your pros and cons. Like, I'm not an absolute here. Only a Sith deals in absolutes. But plastic baggie, yeah, that's going to be weighed more to the no scale. Like, if.
What
if
do you want her to put it in?
If she bought, like, one box, too many man. From, like there's a there was a restaurant at the airport. And it's in like one of those to-go boxes. It's like the slice box. I'll take the slice box off your hand. I know where that came from.
I don't want anything to do with anybody else's food on a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even believe you guys are like discussing this idea.
No, no,
you
no.
You would have
no,
missed
no.
out on fantastic pizza.
No,
it was great.
I wouldn't have.
No. It was great.
Give him a plastic bag 2 hours
no,
into a flight.
Yeah, no, plastic
it
bag.
Was fantastic.
Like plastic bag in a purse. Like no, I'm kind of like I'm out on that part of it.
Out.
But if like if she's holding onto a box and we're all about to get on the flight, and she's like, I don't want. Like I don't really feel like having this. I'll be like, I'll take it off your hands. You paid $7.50 for that slice. I'll take it off your hand.
I would rather roll around in coals before I take anybody else's food.
Whoa!
I don't know what. No, like,
hang on.
I don't know this person.
Owen's on a roll
are
with
dealing with you.
Owen's on a roll with the hyperbole this morning, though. Like, I don't think any of you could tackle Derrick Henry.
Don't get me, I'm hot now. This is unbelievable. I can't deal
but
with
I am
you guys.
With you that like if I see a plastic baggie, I don't care if it's like a three-tier lasagna that's somehow fresh and like it smells delicious
no
in
shot.
This plastic baggie. No, it's
shot.
A plastic baggie. I'm out.
I wouldn't take a Nutri-Grain bar from a grandma on a plane. I would not do it.
Why?
Cause who are you?
It's a Nutri-Grain bar.
Who am I taking this food off of?
Oh my god!
Why do you want me to have this food?
I want none of this.
Josh, I think what we're discovering is you have not watched enough like true crime documentaries.
Right. So I just have too much trust in people. Apparently,
yeah. Ready?
That's what I'm saying.
Ready?
You have not watched enough true crime documentaries.
It's the full scale of trust issues here. Josh has too many.
No, I have. I don't have enough trust issues.
He's got too much trust.
Right.
Owen, I'm getting a sense of the
Owen's
other side
scarred.
Of this.
Owen's scarred.
Owen has watched or listened to like murder podcasts or something, like true crime podcasts or something. At least one. All it takes is one. And the next thing you know, you're like, I can't trust Zachary outside of work. Like,
or I'm a normal human being who doesn't want to take food from strangers. Or there's that.
Or there is a third option.
I mean,
there is a third option.
I feel like I'm on Mars over here.
I'm over here sitting in the middle like, no, both of you have points here. Still no on the plastic baggie. But if somebody buys one too many of an item and wants to give it, sure.
I'm not taking the food.
I'll take free
not
food.
A shot.
I'll take free food.
It's just no
my thing
world.
Is, though, too, I'm not talking to strangers at an airport. That's a big thing for me.
No,
I'm dead silent at an airport.
I'm kind of that. I'll be that person if someone engages with me. I'll play ball if it's a friendly comment.
Oh, see, I'm the one that, like, 5 minutes after the comment, I walk away. No. I'm not allowing the conversation
but
to continue.
But I was stuck on a flight with this lady for 3 hours.
I'm
next
a socialite.
To her, so it's like,
oh, dude, AirPods. You got to come on, man.
I told her to take a hike. I can't.
But, okay, how about if she starts off the conversation asking you and your girlfriend if you're on your honeymoon? You can't just...
Oh, I mean, okay. You hit her with, no, we're just taking
I'm now
vacation.
Envisioning Owen being asked that question, and he just walks away.
Exactly.
It's
he gives
like, you can't just
I wouldn't
not,
be mean. I like, but like, no.
I wish we had the cameras because I would reenact it right now. Just be like, just ask me a question. Like,
and just walk away.
Yeah, I would just do that.
It's gone. Gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I felt during the polo segment yesterday. I was ready to walk off set. I was like, "This is I'm being gaslit."
No, no, no. That is because
there's been something missing in my life.
That is because you believed the first lie, and that's on me because I did manipulate you,
dude.
I made it believable because I said there were goalies. There's not on mini horses.
I was just saying it was more when you said mini horses. I'm like,
you no, it's the zebra.
No. Oh, yeah, no, zebras. I thought I was out on. It was when you said mini horses, and I'm like, he doesn't know what a pony is.
No, no. I'm talking about
immediately
where
my head went from.
Well. My intention was Little Sebastian.
Oh, okay.
Actual mini horse.
Okay.
Just to mess with you. But the fact that you bought it was that I'm like, all right, now we're off and rolling.
Now we're going.
Now we're going here. And today, I just went ahead and pulled the pin on a grenade to start the show here.
Yeah,
we've
discovered Owen. Owen traveling. Don't talk to him.
No.
Don't offer him anything. Josh, when you travel with him,
Owen,
offer him anything. He'll take it.
Owen,
I'm not going to take anything.
Owen traveling, I want a camera crew now.
Old lady says hi. Take off hike, ma'am.
I'm not being mean to people.
Get out of my face.
I just can't. I cannot reconcile with just accepting bagged pizza from a random person. I don't feel like I'm crazy. I feel like I'm going crazy on this show. Nobody, like, Joe was the only one in the morning that even remotely agreed with me. I feel like I'm on drugs right now. Who is taking this food?
Josh's.
Like, you don't think this, like, not even the poison point. You could get poisoned, sure, like, but that's not going to happen. What if it's just bad? It could be horrible pizza, and then you're sitting next to this lady. Like, what do you, my brain's going to melt out of my ears. There's so many places that food like could take you that are not good. What if they mix up the stop me now. It's all bad.
I kind of want you to keep going, but I also need to breathe.
I'm gonna get in trouble. I can't. It's just
oh, man.
I wouldn't have been mean to this lady. I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm good. I pass.
To be fair, I did say that to her when she offered me a second slice.
Oh,
I had the first slice.
No,
once, like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, set yourself up for that.
And
you absolutely.
She's like, "Oh, do you want another one?" I was like, "No, I'm okay."
Once you get through the first slice, though, then you know, whatever. God. All bets are off. I would have taken two if I had been force fed the first one, but you know, you can't. It's the taking the leap to take the first two.
Piece is just insane.
How did you draw the line at the second piece?
I just didn't want it.
Doing?
I wasn't hungry anymore.
Gosh, Josh. This is incredible.
You are on a roll this week.
Oh. Hey, kindness of strangers, man. I don't know. The lady was nice. If she would have been weird about it, I wouldn't have taken it.
That's fair.
This is the best core workout I could have gotten this week.
There was like six other people around me eating this pizza, by the way. It's not just me. There was other people.
Everybody's going to drop dead.
There's like six rows of people just nibbling on a piece of pizza.
There's only, how many bathrooms are on this flight?
Two.
Not enough.
I'll take that. It's more than one.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of a big bonus.
Why am I such an optimist? I don't know. But great start to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We've kept you 10 minutes past your time.
My heart rate's going to be at 160 until noon today.
I'm driving home with hands on the wheel, white knuckling it.
There are tears in my eyes right now from this. This is incredible.
I'm going to find you someday on a plane and give you pizza.
I'll punch you in the throat.
Not even a thought. Right for the throat shot.
It is over.
This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, featuring Owen Parker angrily and Josh Schmidt's nativity.
I was going to ask, too, like, how do we feel about, like, even having, like, food, like, a meal alone on a plane? But I think we went far enough. We've got sports today. The U.S. Open's going on in Oakmont.
That was worth it, though. Oh, my God.
We came in. We were talking with Sneaky Joe and Jeremy before our show started. Rory had a rough shot, and Joe was like, he might be looking at a triple here. Young man, part it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he's looking good. Oh. And by the way, that's going to be a fun conversation.
I'm crying.
Bulldog, Mike, and Brian Koziel, they had like their pick contest.
Yeah.
And one guy that was not picked was Rory McIlroy. He has not done well since the Masters.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And that was going to be a conversation, regardless of how today went, on like what's going on with Rory, why not pick Rory, why is no one feeling good about Rory. I'd love for him, no matter how it actually ends up today, or for the tournament, excuse me, but I'd love for him today to wind up in like the top three.
And that would
like,
be nice.
Oh, Rory's still there. A lot of
Which
fun,
one
though.
Has the field?
It was Brian's pick. It was Brian's pick this major.
Okay.
And so, the pickers so far this year are 2-0. So Brian had a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure to go sweeping this right now. But it looks like that might be a bit of an interesting thing. Now that I'm reset, by the way, finally breathing normal, no more tears of laughter in my eyes.
I will never go on a plane and not think of that story now.
Oh my God. This is
every time I go on a plane now.
That is 1,000%.
That's exactly what I'm going to think
chaotic
about.
Content right there. But plenty of stuff going on. Bills, of course, with the rest of minicamp wrapping up today. Practice at 11. Mm-hmm. We'll have Sal Capaccio on in about 20 minutes. About 20 minutes. The Bengals and Shamar Stewart took another interesting chapter. But I think refreshingly for me, I was thrilled last night, Zach. The Indiana Pacers have not just taken Game 3, but like this is looking to be like one of those back-and-forth series that I'm going to love watching for the rest of its entirety.
Yeah, now thanks to Indiana winning last night, we do know it'll at least go six games.
It is at minimum my long series.
This has been what I've said kind of since it started. I just want this to go five. Indiana, take a game, show that you belong, what have you. Now, kind of Indiana's proved me wrong like every step of the way here.
Every series they have done this.
And for me, it was always, you know, once it became these two officially, I was like, look, I think Indiana's a worthy Eastern Conference finalist.
Right.
I don't know if they're, quote unquote, a worthy opponent for OKC. I thought OKC was just on a different level.
And all year they have been.
Except really on the road, which was something that I hadn't necessarily paid attention to until last night. But then Indiana wins game one. It was like, okay, like, you're at least going to take a game. You're going to make this at least in the beginning somewhat interesting. They're blown out in game two. You could argue Rick Carlisle after a certain point kind of realized, hey, the game's getting away. Let's not fight tooth and nail to lose by 15. We'll take our foot off the gas. We'll get ready for game three and the series goes to Indiana. And then game one in Indiana, it's close the entire way. And then the last 2 to 3 minutes, Indiana pulls away. The second quarter by them and their bench was incredible. They had a few great moments. T.J. McConnell having a number of inbound interceptions to go get easy baskets to kind of keep these little runs going. And now, you know, if you're OKC too, and the way the modern NBA works, this is not just going to be like a nice casual, like, okay, OKC. And while they're going to have a big advantage here with all the draft picks, they're not going to be able to pay everybody from this core. You might get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, and like one other guy. And then it's going to be a lot of like piecemealing it together, using those draft picks to bring in role players. And so they do need this title because they may not get another one. Indiana, the exact same thing. But Indiana's come to play. And they have got just guys everywhere. Their leading scorer was on the bench. It's a guy named Benedict Mathurin.
And I love that. And that was something that I noticed. They can go nine deep.
Yeah, their bench
Throughout their lineup, they can go nine deep comfortably with players playing meaningful minutes and contributing on the scoreboard and defensively.
They're such a long team.
That's the thing. Everybody is
long. They can play hard defensively. This has been a joy to watch of a series because it's two teams. That's the thing too. The casual fan, and I don't say that disparagingly, but the casual fan will be somewhat frustrated by this series because there's no real big names. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not that flashy for an MVP. I think post-MVP he'll be much more flashy. Halliburton is not that 20-point scorer. He kind of came on during these playoffs, not really because of his scoring either, so he's a little bit less flashy.
ESPN's fault.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, Scott Van Pelt even kind of openly acknowledged it after game one that he had showed up late, but to everyone's credit, Indiana kind of showed up late. That was Halliburton's whole thing.
Halliburton said it himself to Van Pelt.
They were below 500 or at 500 at Christmas.
But even Oklahoma City hasn't gotten the shine that they should have all season.
And that's right.
Because they're not the Lakers or the Knicks or
Boston, Golden State.
Or the Lakers.
Or the Lakers.
Have I mentioned LeBron and the Lakers?
That does seem to be very true.
Yeah. So at some point, it is a shame that not as many fans are viewing this because, you know, casuals be casual on that one. But dang, is this a series worth your time? Even if you're not a huge basketball aficionado like myself, I'm not a huge NBA fan. But I was very interested in how Indiana was making this run in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
It was not Oklahoma City turning my attention. It wasn't even the Knicks, who I know a couple of people around here they are fond of.
I would argue I'm one of them.
I know Nate is, for example. Like, it was watching how Indiana has been going through this postseason where I'm like, you have my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I like you. You're scrappy. And I think that's what it is the fact that they had to go through and beat a top seed in order to get to where they were in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Knicks. And by then, they had my attention. By then, it was, okay, I would love to see Indiana get here and make it to the finals. Their bench is deep. Like I said, they can go nine strong. Halliburton's just a fun personality. One of those intense kind of guys that he will put his reputation on the line to make the choking gesture toward the Knicks just to get him in the feels of old Reggie Miller.
Game one, love that.
In game one, even though his toe's on the line. But what do? They realize, okay, we haven't won it. We got to go win it. And that's what they do. They put their money where their mouth is all postseason long. They have a brash attitude to them that's confident but not arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
They know where that line is, and they toe it perfectly.
It's going to be a fun series. It has been a fun series. I think it's going to stay that entertaining.
I'm glad
I think
it
through
is.
The rest of the way.
Because it should be. And honestly, it will turn a casual that is watching into a fan of some of these other teams.
Last night sort of, even if OKC won it, gave me a little bit of a sense of relief of, okay, game two was just game two.
Sometimes there's an off night.
Yeah, blowups are going to happen. And same thing with the Stanley Cup final tonight. Game four, 8 o'clock, 7:30, we'll start our coverage here on WGR.
Do you hope that Edmonton had an off night?
Yeah, and even if Florida wins, give me an entertaining game. I don't need every series going seven or even six. I want entertaining games throughout. Game three kind of sucked. It was 6-1. Edmonton never really got off the ground, and Florida just looked better.
And then when they tried to scrap, they were not winning those either.
No, the most entertaining part of the game was at the end when it became a brawl. That was the most entertaining part of it.
Already, every Oiler was at a disadvantage in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't out-goon the Florida Panthers. It's not something you can do. So if Edmonton's not winning the skill-based game,
You're not winning the other side of that coin.
Yeah, you're out on it.
Come on.
You're out on it. So that's really entertaining. Of course, then we also have, as I've mentioned, the U.S. Open going as well. Got going right away. I mean, guys like Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, already out on the course. That's a lot of fun as well, because then you're not going to have to wait till, a lot of times you can see with these majors, waiting till like 2 in the afternoon to get the big guys going. And it is on cable TV. I think this is on USA Network, where some of these, I mean, you have to like go on ESPN Plus. The Masters was frustrating for me, going on ESPN Plus. And it being like, yeah, you get three holes, and you're just going to watch those, and that's it. The feature group's kind of a frustrating mess at times, but we make it through. And then, of course, Bills wrapping up mandatory minicamp today. We do have some stories around the league as well. Shamar Stewart, he left mandatory minicamp today, though doesn't really mean too much. Jay Morrissey, a reporter for Cincinnati, did mention that as well, that, look, practice ended at 10. Doesn't really mean too much. In the sense of, you know, is he going to miss anything? It's much more of a statement of the continued frustrations with everything. The Bills, they're going to have practice in about 45 minutes at 11. That'll wrap it up for them. We hope, though, to get a bit of an injury update on Max Harrison, the Bills' rookie corner. He injured himself very late in practice yesterday. And to that, no one really got to see if he would even go back in or anything. He got a little bit of work done with the athletic training staff. And then the whistle blew, and that was it for the day. And we also do hope to hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean to kind of put a bow on this week. Derek, I will tell you, though, this week flew by in that sense, and now it's going to be 5 weeks of just sort of sitting on our hands waiting for training camp. There have been some good notes, though, from mandatory minicamp. Allen and the new receivers have really gotten onto the same page, especially yesterday. I know one of the storylines from day one was he threw three picks yesterday, barely, you know, ball basically didn't touch the ground, I think, you know, our sales words. But it seems like he's really building up a rapport with Joshua Palmer, Elijah Moore, who's kind of my darling with this whole thing. But then even on the defensive side, like you're hearing, you know, Benford has been really, really good. Trey White, you know, depending on deployment, sounds like he's being playing with the ones and stuff like that, so that he could maybe be in the pole position to be cornerback too. And then, of course, while it's no pads, you know, I heard Terrell Bernard talking yesterday, the defensive line unit and all the new names they're bringing in. But guys like, I think it was Larry Ogunjobi he was talking about, you know, already knows the playbook and is already kind of like, you know, found himself lockstep. And while, yes, he's going to be out for, what, the first 6 games.
He needs to create advantages for himself.
Yeah.
And that's big.
Build the advantages, know the playbook, get ready. So when, you know, you're back to come in, you're coming right in. And then the young guys as well, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders. And I know Sanders and Walker both have kind of had moments at mandatory minicamp where they've had a little bit of a pop where you're like, oh, okay. I see those guys. There have been injuries, though, as well. And one that does make me very nervous, I want to talk to Sal about this, too, in about 10 minutes, Cole Bishop. That was a big sting point for him last year, is that he got hurt in training camp, and that basically killed any chance he was going to start. And then, once the season kind of got underway, he was behind the eight ball and never really could even make an attempt to grab one of the safety positions on a unit that most would argue was maybe the most average to a bit below average on that defense. The defensive line needed the most work.
And oddly enough, it was also, who was it that the Bills also signed last offseason? The name eludes me for the moment.
Not Taylor Rapp, right?
No. Who was going to be competing with Rapp, or with Hamlin and Bishop for that other safety spot? Oh my God, why is it? From Kansas City, Mike Edwards.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
he gets hurt and then he just vanishes.
Edwards gets hurt, Bishop gets hurt, Hamlin wins the job, despite also getting hurt at some point. But Hamlin wins the job because he knows the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And with all three of them banged up for a majority of the preseason and training camp, Hamlin's the one that's able to come back first, knows the playbook the best, and it's his job going away at that point. Bishop needs to have himself a training camp to claim this job. I don't know how comfortable a single Bills fan will be if they roll out the same safety tandem as last year as they're starting. There would be a lot of negative notions toward Bishop at that point. You know, the only ability, or the biggest ability, is availability.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he never really looked good when he looked particularly good, I should say.
Yeah, there was no flash where you're like, there he is. There's the second round safety. No question he's starting next year.
Oftentimes that would be garbage time when those moments were showing up. Of, okay, there's talent there.
Mm-hmm.
In his starts, he was not anything all that great. And for some people, it's still ingrained in the memory of the Bills finally gave up a deep ball touchdown for the first time in like 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Bishop was starting against Houston.
Mm-hmm. And they did it against Denver in the playoff game as well.
Then they added one more to it.
So there were a few moments where it was like, okay, this is not the same safety unit you've been watching for 6-7 years at that point. I've mentioned it before, too, with Bishop, and it's nothing against him. But for me, it has always been game one against Baltimore. He needs to be one of their starting safeties.
And it's why a lot of fans during the draft process started flirting around with the idea of Malachi Starks.
Yeah. We didn't know what Bishop offered. And so it was, well, if the best player available on defense is a safety, why not just add him? And Sales brought that up, too, that there was – the Bills like Taylor Rapp more than fans do. Bishop is a second – right. All of it made sense.
And that's why I mentioned, like, you know, it was about flirting with the idea, not necessarily like – it was this likely unattainable thing, but like Sal mentioned, like – The Bills like Taylor Rapp. They do think that there's something there. They want to make sure they see something with Cole Bishop. But it's up to Bishop to be available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad luck.
It's bad ultimately. Luck. I will say, though, McDermott mentioning that the injured players, none of them seem to will leak into training camp. That is a good sign. Bosa as well, with somebody that's running around, you got to feel good about what his injury was.
We'll see with Hairston.
But we'll see with Hairston as well. That maybe is the biggest storyline in OT or in mandatory minicamp. We'll see if we get any kind of update today. But we will talk more on yesterday, and what is on the docket for today is coming up after a quick timeout. Sal Capaccio will join the show. Bills practice at 11 o'clock today, so it'll be a quick one for the Bills as they wrap up their spring schedule and head into the summer break. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and this is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And with practice starting in just about a half hour, we go to the Wester Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins us here. The Bills looking to wrap up mandatory minicamp today and then going on about 5 weeks summer vacation here, Sal. I mean, we're gonna have a little bit of a break here.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to depend on, you know, how each guy wants to treat that quote-unquote summer vacation. Down here at One Bills Drive right now, and it's an earlier practice than normal today. Excuse me, sorry. They had been getting on the field at about 12:30 p.m., but today it's going to be 11 a.m. Now, they have been going for 2 hours each day. I don't know if today will be the same. You know, I mean, there's been years where literally they canceled the last day. There's been years where they've gone very short the last day and kind of just did a light walkthrough. So we don't know what to expect today. And then Brandon Bean, I believe, might speak to the media. I don't know if that's completely confirmed, but I think it could happen today afterward. I know last year he did speak with the media on the final day. And then guys go away. And listen, I asked Sean McDermott the other day, what's your message to players when they leave here before training camp begins in late July? And, you know, he talked a lot about how each guy has to kind of find his own routine. And depending on what stage of your career you are, you might have that routine set in or you might be figuring it out. And the young guys kind of have to also kind of lean on those veteran guys. So, yeah, they're going to have about a 5 to 6 week break. And then back at training camp, St. John Fisher in July is the next time we'll see the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, man, it's like the one time the NFL does stop. It has become as close as it can be to 365, 24/7. But this is the period where it slows down, which is true of like most sports. We're all preparing for, what is it, that week in July where there's nothing. The baseball all-star break, there's nothing going on. So, I mean, we're getting close to that. Sal, don't want to forget about this, so I do want to ask you it right off the top. Max Hairston, that is sort of the now the big topic of conversation from mandatory minicamp, appeared to pick up a leg injury yesterday. We really have no idea the severity of it. What did you see?
Yeah, so Max Hairston, we're gonna find out here if he's practicing in a little while, and I would caution this. Even if he doesn't practice today, it doesn't mean that there has to be something severely wrong.
Right.
We'll find out. If he doesn't practice today, I'm sure we'll ask Brandon Bean if he does meet with the media pretty quickly, hey, you know, what's the prognosis on Max Hairston? If he does practice, then everything's good. Yesterday, at the very end of practice, he kind of took himself out of defensive drills to go talk to a trainer, and he was speaking with head athletic trainer Nate Bresky. They seem to be looking at his left knee area, like more of the toward on the bottom area of the knee, talking about it, kind of pointing at it, walking a little bit. Right when that happened, practice ended. It was the scheduled end of practice. So it just literally happened at the end of the scheduled practice time. And so we couldn't tell if he went back in. So typically, like a couple of days ago, if you guys remember, Alec Anderson on the first day, like he tweaked something, gets wrapped up, and he didn't go back in. And you could see that. Okay, well, he didn't go back in, right? That was kind of something you saw that happened. We couldn't tell if Max Harrison would have gone back in or not. He might have gone back in. Maybe he didn't. But as the players then came off the field, he stayed out there just for a little while longer with Nate Bresky. And then they walked in together a little bit after most of the players, but with the group, basically.
Sal, when it comes to I made the joke a couple days ago about like how minicamp. I don't take as much weight into it, but I know that we all have the job to do. I'm absolutely going to play into that part and also feed Zach's ego a little bit there.
There we go.
Impressive performances yesterday from your report. It looks like, Zach, I'm going to do no favors for you here. Elijah Moore looks crisp. Tyrell Shavers looks like he's been having a lot of fun with these with minicamp and OTAs here. What are you taking away from when it comes to what you're seeing out there on the field?
From somebody specific? I'm sorry, Rick. Specific here?
I'm going to go with Elijah Moore here. He is the later addition to the wide receiver core, and yep. Also I want to pump Zach's good feels.
So because I think that there's been a few receivers who have been kind of standouts here lately, Elijah Moore to me has been pretty consistent through the first few weeks we were out here, OTAs, and now minicamp. We were out here for a day of each OTA workout. We come back out here. And I just think he's been consistent and consistently good and solid and running routes. And even yesterday, like, he caught a pass yesterday kind of mid-level of the defense, and there was nobody around him. He's finding zones. You have to always give the caveat this time of year that I know people say, well, nothing matters. Look, I mean, it's football. They're practicing. It matters to them. And I will tell you, though, that it is a much bigger advantage to the offense right now than the defense, because there's no hitting. And a guy can make a catch not worried about he's going to get hit. And, defense is still defense is flying around trying to make plays, but the offense kind of knows routes. It's all set and those kinds of things. This is geared towards an offensive setting when you're in this type of environment. The defense still gets their work done and you want to be in right position. So I want to give that caveat. That being said, though, he has looked good. He's been in right position to make plays, to make catches. He seems like he's finding zones and spots. Very, very fluid route runner. I really like that. I love what I've seen lately from this week from Josh Palmer. I think he did tell me the other day he wanted to be called Joshua, so I'm going to try to do that as much as possible, and it might be, something you have to get used to a little bit. So Joshua Palmer, what I've seen in the last couple of days, I think that kind of connection with Josh Allen is starting to really, get better and more on the same page. I think it seemed like he had more of a connection with Elijah Moore like that, but now it's starting to come with Palmer as well. They are different types of players. They have a bit of a same skill set. I see, that Palmer, when he's catching the ball on the outside and the perimeter a little bit, getting to the right spot where Josh is getting the ball to. I like that. I've seen that a couple times lately. And then the guy that I was really on last year a lot, and I don't know, I think I might be again. I just don't know where the numbers are. But Tyrell Shavers, I think, is having another really good, strong mini camp. And he's a guy that's just right there, guys, to make a team. And I know that he had the, 69-yard touchdown, his yep. only touch in the NFL last year. I think it was against the Jets. Someone said to me the other day, well, why don't they ever give him a chance? Well, listen, he is getting a chance. These are the chances. Your chance comes in mini camp and training camp and in practice. Now, you can debate all you want, and we don't know this, like that maybe he should beat somebody out anyway from what you see, but these coaches are here. They're not trying to lose games. They want to put the best players on the field, the best players on the team. Getting a chance isn't something you do in a game. Getting a chance is what you do to earn going into a game and being on a roster. So far, that hasn't happened overall for Tyrell Shavers, but I just think he's right there, and he's going to be an interesting guy to watch again.
Sal, on the defensive side of things, Trey White, how's he looked in now his return to Buffalo? I did see what he had a pick six yesterday. Dane Jackson also having a good day as well.
He did, and I thought yesterday was a good day for the veteran corners. Trey White did have a pick six. It came really off an offensive mistake, though. Not to take anything away from Trey, you still have to make the play. He did. It was Khalil Shakir on a slant. Josh hit Khalil slipped. And as he's going down, Josh threw it kind of to him. And, he's trying to make a play. So he reaches up as he's going down to the ground, slipping, and he bats the ball, right? As he's reaching up with his hands. He can't bring it in. ball comes up in the air. Tre'Davious White is right there, grabs it, bam, goes up, goes back for a pick six. So good for Tre'Davious White. A little bit later, I really love the play I saw from Dane Jackson. Keon Coleman, a little bit in the middle, kind of sitting in the zone a little bit. The ball comes to Keon, and just as he's bringing it in, it touches his hands, and just as he's bringing it in, Dane comes from behind and just does a great job to swipe down, you know, from behind him with his arm across the top in the front and swipes the ball down to the ground. And you could definitely have two perspectives on that, right? Which is, hey, that's a really great play by Dane Jackson, or, man, Keon's got to bring that in. I don't know if he even had much of a chance. From my angle, I just think it was a good play from Dane Jackson. I don't know. I don't think it was anything that Keon should have had necessarily. But, you know, if you want to be out here and take that away, you could. But I want to give credit to Dane Jackson for making a nice play on the ball.
You mentioned Keon Coleman there, Sal, and I do want to ask about him because he spoke with the media yesterday. And he talked a lot about self-reflection and kind of how he's handling everything. He's also, of course, is off-season kind of strength program or what have you. What have you been able to take away from him? I mean, he's kind of a lightning rod topic for, I think, a lot of Bills fans. Those still maybe upset they didn't take Worthy. Those maybe a little bit frustrated. Wasn't immediately a pop receiver. And, of course, then the comments from McDermott and Bean both kind of wanting more from him post-injury. But what have you seen this off-season?
I thought yesterday was really interesting when he met with the media guys, and you have that sound there, and you can play some of it if you want, because I thought it was super interesting. Just bleep out the part where he said, I thought it looked like crap, right? You know what I mean? Because that's what it is, and I bring that up because he was very self-reflective, very honest, very self-critical, and I think it goes hand-in-hand with what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talked about, getting bigger, faster, stronger, but also for his standpoint, technically, making plays, getting in and out of breaks, doing everything you're supposed to do to kind of be an NFL wide receiver. And what Brandon Bean said after the year was, you know, he just didn't see the same player when he came back from injury. Sean McDermott talked very glowingly about what Keon was able to do as he was ascending, as he got before the injury against Miami. Remember that game in Seattle? It was kind of like his breakout game, right? Where he not only had that great catch over Tariq Woolen, but remember that block he had that drove a guy into the bench area? You guys remember that one too?
Oh yeah.
And you know, he talked a lot about that, blocking, being physical, the physical nature of his game. So, yeah, I just think that it's really great to hear that. And from what I've seen, I do think there's an intentionality about him. That's the word I'll use. Like, when I watch him, not that he never had this, but I think that kind of you see it a little bit differently, where it just feels like, and it looks like, when he's doing things on his own, he's going through his position work with his receiver group, or he's catching passes from the quarterbacks. It seems like he's come kind of intentionally making sure to get that break the right way, to slow down at the top of the route, right? This is the time to do those things, and I think there's an intentionality about what he's doing.
Yeah, that Seattle game, Sal, that is one I bring up constantly. If you just want to even look at the stat sheet, there were moments, and the Seattle game is one of them, where it was like, okay, like they're targeting him more now. He's making more catches. He is now becoming a focal part of the offense. And then, of course, he does have the wrist injury that really kind of takes away the season. But that Seattle game was one of the more impressive games I've seen from a rookie receiver, because you brought it up too. Like, it wasn't just the catches. It's the big block. He's drawing pass interference penalties. Like, there were moments where watching that Seattle game, especially against such a lengthy secondary that the Seahawks do have, he was able to really kind of impose as well. It's why I'm and of course it's only year two, but it's why I can't really quit Keon yet, because those few games right there in the middle of the year when it seemed like he really was growing into his own, he looked like he could be a force for the Bills in the near future.
Yeah, I think that Keon Coleman still has a bright future ahead, and I know last year his rookie year was a bit uneven, but it wasn't terrible by any stretch, right? Yeah. And I think it's incomplete too because of the injury, right? I mean, last year, maybe early on in the year, you're like, okay, you know, you need him on the field. I'll say this. I remember in training camp, I said, hey, I don't know if the volume will be there, but we're going to see like some really highlight reel plays. And that's kind of what we got from him, right? Where it wasn't about him being on the field all the time, but his usage was starting to go up and they were starting to feel more comfortable with him. And I think that's where you have to kind of take the next step if you're Keon Coleman. We know he can be a highlight reel. We know he can make a great play and high point a ball. I think now it's got to be the consistency. It's got to be, you know, being on the field, being reliable in every situation. And I think that's where his game needs to go to really kind of step into that year two role they expect.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here, get you ready for practice coming up in just about 15 minutes, and we'll also be keeping track of everything going on today over at your Twitter @SalSports. Thank you so much, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Westher Hotline. Again, practice early one today coming up at 11 o'clock. We hope to hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Don't think we'll be able to carry it live here on the Extra Point Show because practice will be going on still during the show, but I imagine if he does speak One Bills Live, we'll be carrying that. So don't change the station. We'll probably be playing the GM's comments as we all head for summer vacation. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to keep talking a little bit of the Bills here and some of the NFL storylines as well. Definitely want to jump in, though, later on in the show on Game 4, the Stanley Cup Final. Especially after last night, Indiana taking a bit of a hold of their series in the NBA Finals. Want to see if Edmonton has it in them tonight. Tonight, it's not a must-win, but Derek, we've talked about it. If Edmonton falls to 3-1
it's a should-win.
Yep, it's a should-win and kind of a, not a must-win, but you need to win.
And I do think that we need to, I would like to poke a little bit at something else here where Kevin Weeks says there's a lot of interest on a player from the Buffalo Sabres.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The weather's looking nice. Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back, so you might as well try to take advantage of that nice weather. Ready to tee it up for free every Friday. We're giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways: Seneca Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club. Plus, a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 Encore gift card as well in the giveaway. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin, especially if you know you're watching the U.S. Open right now and you're feeling a little inspired. Ooh. You want to go take some of the greens in on your own, get on the website. Try to do it for free. Nothing's better than free, right? Including Ziploc pizza.
Is anything actually free?
Yeah, Ziploc pizza is free, apparently.
We'll say on the U.S. Open real quick.
My fears did not hear me, luckily, so we didn't rabble-rouse them again.
My fears have been alleviated because this started off aggressively of guys just very low scores. Now, we're hitting maybe the meat of the course here. Guys are struggling a little bit more.
Oh, boy.
This is exactly what I want. This is why I like the U.S. Open. I like when by the end of it, people are excited, but they look more exhausted than anything.
Okay, you're a modest person sometimes.
Yeah.
How would you fare?
I'd leave. No shot.
I was looking for a number, but no. I like that answer.
I'd leave. No, that's mean. I wouldn't leave. I'd stop keeping score. I would say, I'll start on the front nine. I would probably say by hole 7-8, I'd just be like, this is a practice round.
Yeah, no.
We're not keeping score. I'm practicing.
It would turn into, I'm just here for the vibes. I'm here to take
very
this.
Very quickly.
I'm here to take this in.
Very quickly.
Very, very quickly. That would be anyone here.
That happens to me at Delaware. What do you think? It's going to happen at like a notoriously difficult golf course? I'm cooked. I am a goner. I would maybe enjoy it, though. Maybe. Being out there, I would enjoy
taking
it.
Taking the scenery, yeah. At least.
The key here is, though, is I couldn't, like, YouTube golf is big on this, where, like, the bad YouTube golfers will play with, like, the PGA
right.
Like, tour guys. No. I need to be with my buddies or people equal to my skill level, because if I'm the bad one in it, I'm not going to have fun at all. I'm going to have a really poor time. I can't be, like, the worst golf. I can be the worst one if there's, like, three of us that are, like, equal measure.
That's fair. I suppose that's probably the right way to look at it. You want to at least be on par with everybody else. Mm-hmm.
Even if you're the best one in the group, I feel like that might ruin it for something
like
this.
You don't want to be leagues ahead of everybody where you're like, okay, this is like, we're taking too long. Because let's go, guys.
Well, also, then you're also competing with that course, and it's a nightmare for you, even though you're doing better than the others.
Going to get cooked.
Because if you're getting cooked, then imagine what everyone else is dealing with. Yeah, I don't know. I still am out of my element when it comes to...
I would smacked around over there. Be bad.
I know that part. I wanted to ask.
Get emotional.
Yeah. I wanted to ask that part and that question simply because of... I want to see what your answer would be.
Walking away is probably a bit aggressive, but it would be very it'd be very quickly. This is just practice run, guys. We're not keeping score. Come on,
we're not keeping score.
Zach, we're playing a scramble. Yeah, we're not keeping score. Come on, guys.
Yeah, we're scrambling.
Come on,
emotionally, I am scrambling. I'm fighting for my life out here.
803-0550, the number to call. We do have a trade in the NHL. The Rangers trading Chris Kreider and a mid-round pick to the Anaheim Ducks. Kreider is waiving his no-trade clause, heading out west. To Anaheim.
Rangers looking to shake some things up. And Anaheim taking two pieces that the Rangers are done with, by the way. Last year, acquiring Jacob Trouba.
Yep.
And I think that there was an emotional lack of response from the Rangers. Like, you traded the captain. That's probably why you had such a down year and you missed the playoffs entirely. Honestly. Yeah.
Rangers could affect a room. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about that with Ottawa. Trading Norris with how him and Brady Tkachuk were his friends. It was like... Are you sure that's the right move here?
Trading a captain is a big deal, typically. Mm-hmm. Typically.
We'll talk a little bit more on that, especially because of some of the tweets from Kevin Weeks yesterday involving one Bowen Byram. We'll also talk more on the Stanley Cup Final as well. Game 4 tonight. Our coverage here on WGR starting at 7:30 for an 8 p.m. puck drop. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here until 12 o'clock. This is WGR. Two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We've got Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Edmonton taking on Florida. The series is still in Florida. Panthers had a 6-1 win in Game 3. And then also, from yesterday, a report from Kevin Weeks talking about Bo Byram apparently generating plenty of interest in the market from multiple clubs. Look at that!
Yeah, there's something there. And honestly, I said it this week of like, if there's interest in Byram, for example, the Kevin Weeks tweet there of, you know, several teams being interested, if that gets me started with a conversation with Vancouver or Dallas.
About anything?
If it's a conversation starter, I know that Bowen Byram himself would not generate enough for, say, Elias Patterson or Jason Robertson, but... Can I convince a team to do something else?
Maybe. He did have a career high in points last year, 38. His previous highest total was 29, which is the season prior. So, I mean, you could definitely – he's 23, turning 24. You could absolutely convince a team his best years are up and coming. Now, the underlying statistics, I mean, we know as Sabres fans, when he was away from Darlene, were not great.
Also, you put any of the analytical charts, any of them up. To anybody.
Not great.
They are very huge warning signs.
But you can absolutely, I think, convince...
To which Sabres fans are now saying, no, put those away.
Yeah, but you can convince a team that his best years are ahead of him. We're just, we won't be able to sign to a long-term deal. And so we want to get anything for him.
Also, it does look like, you know, he's reading, like there might be a reading of the room. Mm-hmm. You know, if Byram does desire to be a top-pairing defenseman with power play time...
Yes.
He's not getting it within a Buffalo franchise that has Rasmus Dahlin, a Norris Trophy candidate that people are voting on now.
Finished fifth yesterday.
Sixth.
Thank you.
And Owen Power, a player who should. This is typically when defensemen start to flip that switch. Like at his age.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we talk about with Owen Power.
And like Power is going to be like, he's at that age where he's going to, like, you saw that switch flip with Dahlin.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm not guaranteeing that sort of thing. Nothing is ever truly linear, but I would expect that there's something of a growth with Owen Power this season.
There's at least some excitement, too, because it's not just the Bo Byram tweet from Kevin Weeks. There's also been reports. Elliot Friedman's talked about it as well on his 32
Buffalo
Thoughts.
Buffalo wanting to be aggressive.
Yep, and that's been the main feeling around the offseason.
Hiring Jarmo Kekäläinen, yeah. a GM that is not afraid of making a big swing. Mm-hmm. So, ready? Say the Sabres even just want to keep Byram anyway. If teams are interested, it's still a conversation starter.
Yeah, it will get you in the room.
If teams are interested, it gets me a phone call, and I go, maybe not Bo and Byram, but I know you've got something going on over here. What's up? And that allows the Sabres. The amount of star power that is available or reportedly available right now for this offseason,
it should be a fun offseason.
I say this every year. And over the last 3 years, I've been disappointed, and I don't want to be again. But it's gonna have to be these words. If Buffalo does not come away with a substantial addition this year, I don't know if disappointed is even the right word anymore.
No, I'm well past disappointed. I'll shrug my shoulders and go, well,
it'll be, why is he here?
Okay, yeah,
and I do mean that about Kevin Adams in that sense of the amount of players that are reportedly available, and the amount of assets that Buffalo still has for being, quite frankly, a bad team last year. You should be able to do something here. The equation makes sense. You still have prospects that are very highly regarded. You still have young players that may or may not have a fit within this team.
Mm-hmm.
You do still have the youngest team in the National Hockey League for like the third straight year. Get a big name. Not just because it's a big name, because of the impact said player should have for your team. And you have excess goods. We all know that the combination of Noah Oslin, Konstantin Hellenius, and Isaac Rosén are not all making the NHL roster.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. It is because there's not enough room. There are not enough sweaters.
And we've talked about that for 2-3 years now with all their draft picks of just like not all these.
The only difference is we could have added last year. We added Matt Savoy's name until he was removed from the equation.
Yeah. But that was the fun part. It's like, okay. Now they're starting to do it. They're adding NHL-ready guys for Kulik, some of these prospects broke, who may not move up.
Kulik broke through, and I think he's in a league of his own. Of mm-hmm. the type of prospect that he is and the type of player that he can be. These other guys, it's like the Paterka, Krebs, Quinn group.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hit on at least a third of them on that next coming crop, and I think it's Hellenius. And I know that the general manager will think something else, but if he has a differing opinion on the names, that's fine. But he should still have the opinion of, not all these guys are going to make it. I need to sell the right one to a team that will give me something in return. Obviously, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
But Kekäläinen will help with relationship building with him, or, you know, having connections and, you know, having the experience to know what it's going to take to be more aggressive in this sort of stance. And this is where, yes, the fact that you had to hire a senior advisor for your general manager in his sixth year of being the general manager does look a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it is legitimately Kekäläinen will be there to, at worst, help mold the last piece that Adams needs, the major acquisition. And at best, he helps reform the rough edges on Adams and his relative inexperience when it comes to NHL front offices. At best, Kevin Adams becomes a good general manager because of the help that he's receiving.
Right, like all of a sudden we're sitting here going, actually, figured it out, we're good.
Yes. At worst, Kekäläinen might take the job.
Which I think might be the thing anyways.
It might be the thing anyways. I'm under the suspicion that win or lose, mm-hmm. Adams gets elevated to president and Kekäläinen would become the general manager anyway.
Yep.
But that's not a bad thing. And especially if you win, there's going to be a lot more respect for the person getting promoted.
Yeah, it'll be the respect, because that's what it was 2 years ago now. It was the respect of like, hey, the Sabres are this young up-and-coming team. Everyone is like young in the organization, because even Granato was this, not young coach, but he was kind of a fresh face. Adams is a young, everything.
You make the playoffs, all the sins and all the nonsense that we've been talking about with Adams, it's all forgiven.
Kind of quickly go away.
I'm telling you that.
Kind of quickly go away in league circles, but then even if it goes to
within the fan
where,
base, like the, yeah. The wounds that are made by the last 6 years of Adams' tenure here strictly, they're all gone. Those wounds are healed. Everyone forgives you because you're the general manager that cracked the code.
And so even if he is moved to president of hockey ops, then you put in a guy like Kekalainen who – when he was hired, the excitement for most of us was that, ooh, I would take him as my general manager today, let alone as this senior advisor role.
Right.
So if you make the playoffs, the iron is hot again, and you look at Kekalainen's past, there is that feeling of a hate strike. I mean, hell, he was doing it with Columbus, whose iron maybe was never more than lukewarm, let alone hot, let alone fully warm. And so for me, this offseason, you see guys like Jason Robertson might be legitimately available. Mitch Marner is going to hit free agency. We'll see if the Florida guys hit free agency. And then that's not even really mentioning outside of Ekblad.
There's no way
some
all
of the
three.
The defensemen hitting
there's no
free
way
agency.
All three of Florida free agents are retained.
You think?
One
right,
of Ekblad, Marchand, or Bennett has to. There's not
oh,
enough.
Oh, yeah, Marchand probably
there's
is
not
out, yeah.
enough money in the banana stand. There is a salary cap. Mm. Even with the question about the taxes thing. Like, there's still just not enough dollars. Let's be real here. And so one of those players is going to be a free agent. That's a big deal. That is a top-tier free agent, one of the three out of Florida. If there's more than one, look out.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're here, like Brock Besser or Nikolai Ehlers or the trade market. Where you're hearing about Patterson, maybe that those conversations start up again from all last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or Robertson, who I think erroneously, like that's the wrong call. It's like when Calgary traded Matthew Tkachuk because they wanted to keep around Michael Frolik.
I thought Tkachuk just wanted out of Canada.
I don't remember the original story on this sort of thing, but it looked like bad asset management back then, and that's what this would be if you traded Jason Robertson. Because you signed Ilya Lyubushkin and Matthew Dumba to contracts that they did not need to be eating up the percentage of cap hits that they are. Past Matthew Dumba, yes. Current Matthew Dumba, no. Ilya Lyubushkin,
no. Yeah, no.
No.
Although I do.
Both of them
Lyubushkin.
Being sat for like, what was it, Alex Petrovic or somebody? Cody Ceci's getting top 4 minutes in Dallas, like. Jim Mill, congrats on winning GM of the Year. I don't know how you did it with that decor.
Oh man, I love Lyubushkin. Only for a gummy bear. That's it. I miss him. I miss him dearly. Only for that alone.
Ready? That and that alone, because if I gave you his cap hit number right
now. Oh, it's
now,
not good.
You would probably be like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's not good. I understand that, but the vibes were exceptional with Lyubushkin. It's just, it's
a $3.25 million cap hit for Lyubushkin.
Oof.
On a 3-year deal.
Oof. Oof. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, look, it's setting up again where it should be a busy offseason for the Sabres. They add that sense of credibility with Kekalainen. There are those young players that have have now kind of ascended to being in good spots. Dahlin and Thompson should be able to sell a project themselves. Thompson may be an Olympian for the United States. He did really well at the World Championships this year, ultimately leading the U.S. to winning gold. First time since, like, the Great War was still called the Great War. So They have the pieces. They have, hopefully and potentially, a sense of credibility. Now it just becomes the sense of, can you sell it? You will probably have to overpay, specifically in free agency, maybe in trades as well. But when I see the Bo Byram news that, like, hey, you might have multiple teams wanting a piece of him, great.
Great.
Get people into a bidding war so you can get the best assets.
Or get enough people in a room together. Mm-hmm. Or have enough phone calls that there's conversations, multiple, going on. And it's not like you're going to get killed in the re-signing market right now. Your RFAs are Byram, Paterka, Kozak, Ryan McLeod,
You want to make sure that one's tied up. Jack Quinn, that's not going to cost you as much as was once projected to. Jacob Bernard Docker. Devin Levi. And that one's not even going to cost you as much anymore.
Wow, yeah, that a few years ago, that would have looked way different.
Yeah.
Would have looked way different.
And ready? UFAs, it's Reimer. That's the list.
Do you want to bring back James Reimer? Especially because you watched a lot of the Rochester series.
No. But also, if he comes back, the tandem is Lucan and Reimer.
Mm-hmm.
Do I trust UPL to rebound? I would like to. The personality of Lucan, and I really like the person.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know that that 1 year wasn't a fluke. The good year.
Right.
Is the good year a fluke? And I... It's funny because... You know, when you like play video games or like you and me, we'll play board games or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a risk taker.
Yep.
And this is exactly the nature of what I'm about to say. There's only one way to find out that that's not a fluke. I'm terrified of it.
Is to push him back out there and go, all right.
Yes.
Let's see what happens.
I'm tossing the grenade. Is it going to work? Or am I about to get retaliated against so harshly that, like, it's over?
Yeah. Looking at these two seasons last year.
There's only one way to find out.
This past year. I think that's right.
But it's scary. Like, to any fan, any listener that just heard me say that sentence, I get it. That's not a good feeling in your tum-tum that I just said those words.
No,
it's not. I hate it too. But there's only one way to find out. But it would be managerial malpractice if you let Levi be the backup in the NHL this year, especially after what happened in Laval.
Mm-hmm.
He was not good enough in that series. I do think that he could benefit from an entire season. And I mean an entire season in the AHL. And that's not a bad thing. Goalies are slow cooks. Let them develop proper. I look at what Calgary did with Dustin Wolf, and I think that that's the right way to go about this. Did Levi start on fire when he first arrived here, when the Sabres were in the middle of a playoff push? Yes. He was at his best within the NHL level in those stakes, which is incredible to me. It tells a little bit about the character of the person.
And that was him at his most raw, green, whatever right. You want to call it, and he came right
but
in.
But what choice did you have? Because it was great. Lukanen not doing hot.
That was Lukanen, you could argue, his worst season.
He was getting wins weirdly, but like weirdly. They weren't a byproduct of him because the Sabres were this.
They were scoring a mile a minute.
Yeah, they were the third best scoring team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
So they had the goal strength to support or even overcome the weaknesses. Lukanen has one good year, oddly enough, and cruelly enough, it's when the Sabres can't find the back of the net to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I think, okay, there is a hockey god out there and they hate us. But again, there's only one real way to find out what you actually have with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. If some team wants to overpay for Luukkonen's services and you get back an established goaltender in return, that's awesome. Where is your copy of NHL 25?
Yeah, it's unrealistic to think that it could happen.
Yes.
Especially because other teams will have seen Luukkonen. I mean, you look at these two seasons, 23-24, and then this past year, 24-25. He faces nearly the same shots, 14-70 and then 14-89. Saves 13-38, 13-20, but it's his save percentage in 23-24, 9-10. His goals against 2.57 compared to last year, 8.87, 3.20. I mean,
I would argue
he faces nearly the same amount of games and the same amount of shots, but it is a radically different season for him.
And I would argue that the defensive core was better last year.
And that's the worrying part.
I didn't have Eric Johnson on this roster last year.
Yeah.
Or this past year. Two seasons ago, he was doing that with, quite frankly, the worst bottom pair defenseman in the league.
But that is where the the apprehension to do this comes from and why, you know, I bring up, would you want to bring back James Reimer? Because Reimer was playing pretty well last year. He kind of, towards the end of the year especially, sort of became more their sure-handed goalie. He's not 42, 43 years old. I mean, he's in his late 30s. But there is some sort of feeling there that you could push him out there and be okay. You could survive it. They're in such an awkward position. And this is why I still thought Levi was so important to where they were going, because of where they'd put themselves in the NHL, you know, mind was not good. And I've said this now for 2 years. After you missed your window to sign a bunch of free agents or to get guys that wanted to come there so you could trade for them, what have you, you needed to win with this group, or you're starting it over with another group and no one's coming to you still. And Levi was a big important piece to that, because if he hit, like we saw in, what was it, 7 games? He plays towards the end of the year, 5, 7 games, whatever it was. He showed, okay, you might have a goalie next year, plus they're scoring like the wind. Here we go. But then he comes in and is really not good from the word go. And then Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen goes in and it's like, okay, well, he's much better. They can't score, though. Quinn gets hurt. Cousins vanishes into whatever he became. They've run into bad luck, but also they've made this bed, and it is much harder for them to get out of it. They can't make that big trade to get them out of it all the time. And I want Adams to be more proactive. Don't get me wrong. Him sitting on his hands for that losing streak this year, he's openly acknowledged he would do it differently.
Yeah, he acknowledges openly, like, that's probably not how it should have been done.
And I know Paul's brought this up too. I do wonder, though, just how much more difficult it is for the Sabres
when it comes to
is for everybody else.
When it comes to the Reimer question, the last piece on this, could I find another free agent goaltender that is effectively James Reimer? Yes.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Probably. The first name I think of is, like, David Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
Riddick available, last played with the LA Kings. Could I get another guy like that? Could I get Freddie Anderson on a cheaper deal to be the backup?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are legitimate questions that one should be asking at that point. It doesn't have to be Reimer. No. Do I need them to sign another goaltender? Yes. Absolutely. You can't have the same thing that you did last year, because, again, that is managerial malpractice. Steve just tweeted at me, would you trade UPL for John Gibson? Probably not. That contract and Gibson's declining play over the past several years is enough to turn me off on that.
Looking at last year, he only played 29 games.
Mm-hmm.
He
was hurt to start the year. That's why Anaheim, oddly enough, claimed Reimer,
mm-hmm,
and then put him back on waivers for Buffalo to even get him back.
Yeah, the games played is a big part here, because his save percentage is .911, goals against .27. But in the year's previous 46 games, 53, 56.
But I'm paying something extra to get John Gibson.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's worth it. I would rather take the risk and find out what I actually have there. And then if I have to effectively move on from him to prepare for Devon Levi, who will have ideally had a whole season in the AHL.
That's big of it. Yep. It's a big part of it, is that you hope at some point he is like wine, and all this time in the AHL has pushed him to that point.
But goalies typically are.
Mm-hmm. By the Luukkonen, way, Gibson's cap hit, $6.4 million.
Yeah. By the way, Luukkonen did not really have that authentic stage either.
Right.
His time in Rochester was very short.
And wasn't particularly good either.
And it wasn't good. So, again, I need to know that year was not an anomaly. I need to know. It's dangerous. Could we be staring at year 15 down the barrel at that point? Maybe. But I need to know. And especially if it's my last year as a general manager, potentially. Might as well go down swinging with the contract extension that I signed, right?
Right. Now, I do wonder, though, because we've brought up the kind of the feelings of, what if he, win or lose, Adams is elevated to president of hockey ops, and then Kekalainen goes in. Then there really wouldn't be this fear of well, this is my last year, we got to go. It would just be the continuation of, I'm still with the organization. We're still trying to win. I do get worried that because Levi had such a good season up to the Laval series, that they're going to take, and maybe this is the correct way to go, but they're going to take the bulk of the sample size and go, no, he's ready to cook. He went up against a good Laval team, didn't have a great series, but you know what? He's ready to go, and we're going to get him up there. Because to be fair, I think just based off how the organization is operated, they do prefer Levi to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Just my feeling.
Organizationally, yes.
Just my feeling on it. So I could see them going, no, we're bringing Levi up. For the bulk of the season, he was very, very good. He had a bad Laval series. We're going to bring him up. And if that's their reasoning to it, I can't totally argue that.
But again, this comes back to one thing as well, though. Something has to be done about the main roster.
Yep.
Away from net. Something has to be done. There are enough names out there now, be it free agency or trade market rumors, and you still have the pieces. Yes, I know you have to deal with the fact that nobody wants to, nobody with a no-move clause dares to come here. I understand that, and that is an unenviable position that you are in. What can we do about selling someone on that? Or you find there are still enough trade targets.
Oh, God, yeah.
That don't have them. Or they're about to kick in July.
It should be an exciting offseason.
You have time to figure something out.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking Sabres there for a little bit. Also talk some Bills and the NFL. A little bit of an update on the Shamar Stewart situation out in Cincinnati. Head coach Zach Taylor has spoken on it. I don't believe the man is a good head coach. I think he's an okay head coach, but I do not envy having to work with, it seems, the constraints you have in Cincinnati. Before we head our next time out, though, I do want to remind you to join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom for details. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. We'll be right back.
We all agree Trey will be right? But technically still 1% wrong for being on the contract. In my case, I'm 100% right, so it should be a no-brainer. Trey's case, I think it should be a no-brainer, too. I mean, he led 17 and a half sacks 2 years back-to-back. If I was the GM or I was the owner, take all my money. But I guess they don't operate like that.
Bengals rookie defensive lineman Shamar Stewart. He has been very much a talking point this week and really much of this offseason. Still has not signed his contract, and that's not out of the ordinary. Some of these guys don't sign their contracts till later. The problem is he is not participating, and he has been vocalizing it as well, as you heard there in that clip that was from earlier this week. Well, Stewart did not show up today. He left mandatory minicamp early, and head coach Zach Taylor did speak on it. Quote, every year you kind of learn something new in this position, and this is just one of those things that the players have managed really well. He's talking about his team managing kind of the distractions and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't envy Taylor. I don't think he's a particularly good head coach. You see the issues starting the year. They're constantly on the back foot. They end really well, which is commendable. I don't disagree with that.
Right.
But I think this is also the problem like Marvin Lewis was dealing with for years as well, too, where it was just you didn't have an organization at the top end in the front office that seemingly was all in. A lot of this stuff, it sounds like, with Stewart is more of just they want to have insurances to take away guaranteed money. So they're playing with the languages of the contract. And Stewart is not playing ball. which, and I've seen, Ben Solak, I think, was tweeting about this too. The moment he said no, probably should have ended the discussion. You're like, okay, fine, whatever. It's a rookie deal.
Yeah.
We are not gaining or losing that much money on this. That's the whole point of the rookie deals.
Yeah, it just...
And they're not getting the benefit of the doubt because in the same offseason, at nearly the same position, they're dealing with Hendrickson.
No, actually the same position.
So it's just...
Legitimately.
Yeah.
On the other end of the same position, they're dealing with a contract dispute that has gotten ugly and public.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that these things are getting ugly to a point where players, multiple players in Cincinnati, are taking it public. I don't care if you think that the nuances are correct at this point. It's not working. You're getting shredded now in the court of public opinion. And again, like you just said, they're not going to get any credit at this point, or they're doing themselves no favors, because there is constantly some sort of bickering coming from Bengals players about the front office every year. Jamar Chase, there were questions if he was going to hold out last year.
T. Higgins.
Do we remember that? T. Higgins, that whole saga too. There are always questions about something in Cincinnati. Oh, and Trey Hendrickson, this has been going on for like 3 years.
And his frustration too has been the lack of communication. But it's been the lack of communication. Where, I mean, he was going on Pat McAfee going like, we haven't talked. And my camp is small. Like when he's talking about like my camp, he's like, it's my agent, me, and my wife. And this is where I know Joe Goodberry's talked about it, and I think he was talking about today too that Stewart's probably also getting some pretty bad advice from his agent. I don't disagree with that either. I think this is probably bad on both sides. Derek, we've talked about it. Stewart is a player that desperately needs to be on the field gaining these reps. He is a raw prospect. He is somebody that did not have a high amount of production at A&M, but has all the athletic tools that could see him develop into a great player. And instead, the agent's like, yeah, don't go out there and play. Or maybe he's not. Maybe this is Stewart deciding that. But either way, this has gotten really ugly really fast. And while I blame the Bengals a majority of it, there is also the feeling of Stewart could just be like, you know what? All right, whatever. I'm just going to go out there and play. And it seems like all the goodwill between the two parties is just non-existent. And he literally just got there. He was drafted at the end of April. We are in the beginning towards mid part of June.
Yeah. We're.
How did you already get here?
Yeah, how'd you already have it sour so fast within 2 months? That's the problem that you're looking at there with Cincinnati. It is the fact that we keep hearing something about the Bengals front office and how, I guess, aggressive with their counters they are. Like, it is a hardball front office to a point where it frustrates players.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Something about it, it's not healthy. And it's consistently like that because there's always something coming out of Bengals camps every year.
They are the gift that keeps on giving. I say that both as a joke, but also like completely serious, especially when us covering the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
The one big story they had was killed the first day of mandatory minicamp when Cook not only showed up, but was a full participant. And while that may become a thing later on down the road, and he may even hold in for training camp, who's really going to care?
It was also a non-story. All James Cook was saying was more money would be nice. That's it. That's all his statement has been. He has not disparaged the organization a single shred throughout this entirety of his, quite frankly, desire to be paid more. Zach made a face about something with Royal McIlroy, and I did not look up quickly enough to see what happened.
Oh, I didn't
see
the putt. He had a nightmare of a hole here. Me and Owen Parker are talking about it on Twitter. He just sunk like a 35-foot bogey putt to basically not have a disaster hole. Wow, good for him.
That's huge. Yeah,
that's like his second 30-plus foot putt. Because I think he had one on like the first hole or the second hole.
Hey, you know,
for a birdie.
Apparently at this course, anything you can do to survive is nice.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. But yeah, the Bengals stuff. I mean, that's going to be a storyline that is going to keep us going for the next 5 weeks.
And that's
because it's not ending now.
Oh, no, not with the bad blood that's very clearly coming from Stewart.
And he left early. Now, we're at a point of, like, most of these reports of, like, oh, this player signed their rookie deal are nothing. It is literally just to inform you that happened. his is actually going to be a huge momentous occasion.
You know, it's kind of funny because, like, with all the noise that's coming out of Cincinnati on these two players, it's almost like you suddenly forget that Johnny Smith held out from minicamp, T.J. Watt held out from minicamp, Terry McLaurin held out from minicamp.
There's going to be a lot of those storylines,
oh,
man.
Right. Those are other players that also did that. Nobody cares because Cincinnati, it is loud.
Mm-hmm. And also, and this is my thing with the Hendrickson thing and Shamar Stewart, the Bengals do not get the benefit of the doubt. This is not their first time doing it. This is how they do business constantly.
And it's not even their first time doing this offseason.
And so there is no Jeez. Benefit of the doubt. Do want to get to the Stanley Cup final here, though, as well, because, Derek, you were checking out Edmonton's kind of quote-unquote lines for morning skate today. Could be interesting tonight.
Jeff Skinner in. For those that that are interested, Victor Arvidsson out. So Arvidsson goes out of the lineup for Skinner. Defensively, that's going to be a huge hit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
John Klingberg out of the lineup, swapped out. Stuart Skinner staying in net. The 6-0 playoff record of Calvin Pickard is not going back in. And I thought about that. Like, Skinner did effectively help you get you where you needed to go. If he struggles again, you're probably finishing the rest of the Stanley Cup final with Pickard. That said, Skinner's incredible play did get you where you had to go.
Yeah.
Pickard closed the LA series, started hot with Vegas, gets hurt. But Skinner, just as hot to finish out Vegas and Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be better. But what happened in Game 3, how many games do you actually win with one goal?
Well, and that was always our argument with the Ottinger stuff.
Yeah.
With Peter DeBoer is like, you're really going to go after
how
him
many
when you're not scoring.
How many games do you win scoring one goal? Everything in Game 3 was bad.
Exactly.
To a point where multiple lineup changes have been made.
Yeah. You're right. Like, so the Oilers, you can argue, are kind of doing it correctly where it's like, no, we're just gonna mix it all up.
Go
into Game 4. Let's see what happens.
I do find it fascinating, RNH, with McDavid, not with Draisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fascinating. I like that. Perry on the fourth line, because he was skating with McDavid for a little bit. But they're like, oh, yeah, he is 40.
That is a thing.
That is a thing going on.
His body will break down faster.
But still making sure he'll get his top power play time, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a tricky balance there. And if Edmonton doesn't win this game, it could very quickly become the backdoor sweep.
Oh, that would be frustrating. I think neither of us are saying it's a must win. I'm at the point, I'm taking it just a little bit further or a little bit further back. It's a need to win.
Yes.
Because as we've pointed out, like the idea of falling down 3-1 to this team that you did this kind of exact same thing last year, or at least it was 3-1, and you saw how it ended. They simply ran out of Edmonton. They simply ran out of gas at the end of the game in Game 7. And so we'll see if they can rebound from what was a bad Game 3. The NBA, though, gave me a lot of hope that, man, just sometimes it isn't your night and they'll be back tonight. But even then, Game 2, relying on a lot of power plays and some bad play from Florida. You know, I haven't been super convinced by Edmonton yet. Florida, thanks to Game 3, I have been much more convinced by them. Game time tonight at 8 o'clock. Our coverage here, though, on WGR will get going at 7:30, and that coverage is presented by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. The Bills are also on the practice field currently. We won't get any updates until afterwards, but for all those updates, keep your phone handy at Sal Sports, Sal Capaccio on Twitter. He'll have you covered on who is participating, and that does include Max Harrison, who we're waiting to see any kind of injury updates on him after he picked up what appeared to be a leg injury late yesterday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, we're here until 12 o'clock. This is WGR.
quick final segment, everybody. Jack Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a Thursday. The U.S. Open has gotten underway from Oakmont, just north of Pittsburgh. It's just in Pittsburgh. Very nice city. Going to Nashville next week, taking a little bit of a road trip. Me and the girlfriend going to see her family. Should be a lot of fun. We will be hitting up another gigantic store that she's excited
about. I kind of want you to just go to every IKEA ever.
Well, it's not IKEA we're going this time. I'd still go to every IKEA just to see if they're a little different and to get the meatballs. I'd go for lunch. But we are going to another gigantic grocery store that she's excited to see. We went to IKEA. Wouldn't call it a grocery store, just a store. This time we'll be going to Jungle Jim's, which is an international market in Cincinnati. And I'm pretty excited for this one. This one I'm excited for. Am I going to buy anything? Probably not. I'll get scared. But
I'll get scared.
I'm excited to do these.
Where's your sense of adventure?
That's the thing. It'll overwhelm me.
No.
It's going to overwhelm me. Honestly, there's too many options. I don't know what to do.
I've got you. Simple. You pick a thing.
Well, it's going to be cheap ramen then, which is okay. That's okay. But that's the thing is if I just pick something, it's not going to be adventurous. She's already decided on some of the fruits we're going to have that I'm like, that takes real work to eat those. That's my one issue with seafood. It takes a lot of work to eat some of them.
So you're not a kiwi fan then?
I love the taste. I hate preparing it.
It does take a lot to get a kiwi. Those are elite fruits, though.
They're very good. They're very good.
They're incredible.
You know what? The only fruit I don't like? Watermelon.
I kind of get that.
I'm not a big watermelon guy, which is frustrating.
Which is weird because I like watermelon flavor, candies or whatever.
But that is like the summer fruit, and I've never cared for it.
But also, watermelon flavoring does a lot of justice for watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
The watermelon flavor is not watery enough.
No, not even slightly. No. Not even slightly. They take the water out of it, and they're like, it's just melon.
It's melon.
It's melon.
It's more concentrated melon flavor. There's no water flavor, which it makes sense. There's no water flavor. I kind of just answered the question on its own.
But yeah, we're going to be doing that. That should be interesting, exciting.
Find something.
Now, here's the thing.
You got to make a call.
But here's the thing. It's a grocery store. We spend a certain amount of time in there. We're walking out spending a small fortune.
Yes.
That's just the fact of the matter. And so it's like, do we set like a timer? We'd be like, hey, we can only be in here for like an hour. Or we're going to get hurt.
I don't know.
We are both in our mid-20s and slightly poor. We can't do this. It's like, we can't do this.
Yes, you can.
I mean, we can.
Should you? Is the question.
That's the key.
I think you should.
Probably will.
I don't know if I'm ever going to see this again. You make that purchase.
I think we're stopping twice. I think it'll be one down to Nashville and then once back up.
All right. That's interesting.
So there could also be that kind of like, hey, I'm a little overwhelmed the first time. On the way back,
though, or you see something interesting and you're going to on the step back, you'll actually make your call. You'll actually make a decision on this.
On the second go around.
Yeah, don't come away with just ramen. I'd be so disappointed in you.
It'll be like hitters in baseball. I'll always get better the second time around, and the third time, even better.
All right.
That's going to do it for me and Derek coming up after a quick timeout. Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.